Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, JAM, Jesus and Me Ministry. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Thank you. We praise his name tonight. How many of you know that all of the glory belongs to our Father? Hallelujah. It all belongs to him. Everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that we're preparing for, it all belongs to him. Hallelujah. Everything that you're going to deal with, amen, rest it in his arms on tonight. Lay it at his feet on tonight. He deserves all the glory, all the worship, all of the praise. Amen. And amen again, family. I want to welcome you tonight for joining us. I'm Dr. Prophetess Crystal McQueen, amen, of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, co-pastor alongside my husband, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. We bring you a warm welcome. We invite you in. We thank you for meeting us here tonight for Jam Jesus and Me Ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. It all belongs to him. Amen. I give God all the honor on tonight just to be here before you and to be in his presence. Amen. I thank him because his eyes are always watching to and fro. Amen. So I'm always before the Lord. And I just bless God on tonight for the mighty, wonderful things that he has done and he continues to do for not only myself, but for you as well. Amen. Amen. I want you to know, family, there is a word from the Lord. I just will not be before you long, but just enough to let you know concerning our service times. Tonight is Jam, our praise and worship experience. This is at 7 p.m. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We're here for our Sunday worship morning service. Amen. Tuesday night is Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. And Thursday from 7 to 8 is prayer. And all roads, if you are in the Brevard County area, lead to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Amen. We would love for you to join us at any one of those times. Our arms are open, and we welcome you right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Family, we would also like for you to connect with us if you would like to see any of our services. Amen. At the time of your convenience, please go to our website as well, www.ctkrm.org. Once again, that's www.ctkrm.org. You can see our services live, or you can go into our archives, amen, and hear the word of the Lord and catch up on the series that we love to teach, amen, that the Lord has given our senior leader. And also, we would like for you, amen, that if the word of God is ministering to you in any way, that this word is challenging you, if it's blessing you, healing you, bringing you into new revelation into Christ Jesus, amen, we would love for you to sow, amen, into the word for your life, amen. And once again, you can do that by going to www.ctkrm.org. We have several methods that you're able to give, amen, so that'll serve you. Amen. With all that being said, please pray for us this December coming up the 6th through the 9th. Amen. Pray for myself, our senior leader, and myself as we travel to Ahoskie, North Carolina to minister the word. So keep us uplifted and in prayer for that as we go forward, and also as we prepare for our Liberian African trip, African Women for Jesus Conference 2020, again in Liberia, Africa. We will both be traveling over. Amen. My husband will be doing the Christian leadership teaching for all the leaders, and yours truly will also be delegated to speak as well. Amen. So keep us uplifted in prayer with that also. Amen. Amen. So with all that being said, all hearts and minds are open. We want to continue good. Amen. We want to go forward. Amen. As we're preparing ourselves, I want to let you know, family, that please, we are looking forward to the mighty things that God is doing in all of our lives. Amen. I want you to know that God has been ministering to our senior leader as he's been going into different series. The Lord is trying his I don't want to say trying his best, because I don't want to say it that way. I just want to say this, is that God has really been speaking in the earth, in the atmosphere to his people. And those that have an ear to hear, you want to make sure that you are attuned into his frequency. Amen. God has been preparing us for this next move, this next spiritual move that he's about bring up on the earth. And he's looking for his people. Many, I've said many years before, and you've heard me say it, and you continually hear it echoed, is that God is getting, is already moving and preparing many men and women of God that have been behind the scenes. He's bringing a lot of people out of obscurity. He's been bringing a lot of people out of the caves. He's moving people, moving them from the back, moving them forward, names of people you've never heard of are all of a sudden going to be appearing before you, but they're going to be appearing with the word of God on their hearts, his word in his mouth, his name tattooed on their forehead. Amen. They're going to be operating and moving in the power and the presence and the authority of Christ. Amen. You're going to be ready for those signs, wonders, and miracles. But also know this, the enemy's also got his people ready too. So we have to be sharper. Our discernment has to be quick. We need to understand the times and the seasons that we are in. We need to also make sure that we're not so busy trying to get ourselves together that we forget our neighbor as well. We have to intercede. We have to make sure that we're not making it into heaven by ourselves. We need to be able to shift nations, shift communities, amen, shift neighborhoods. It's so much going on. God cares about his people, amen, and he's trying to prepare you and me for the end time. At the end of the day, Jesus is still coming back. Amen? Amen. So we must make sure that we are prepared while we're doing all the getting, while we're trying to be the best businesses and bosses and trying to be, we need to make sure at the end of the day that our soul is ready to meet him face to face and that we have committed ourselves to doing what he's called us to do. Amen? With that being said, I believe that our senior leader is ready to come forth. Family, let us rest upon our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming in tonight. Now it is time for the word of the Lord. Please let us rest upon our feet. Please get your, those of you who already know, he's a teacher, so grab your Bibles, your iPads, and something to take notes with. Amen. Your recorders. Amen. As the Lord ministers through him, to drop nuggets for us. Amen. Let us receive none other than my husband of 26 years, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let's bless God for his life. Amen.
Come on, give God a praise. Come on, give him some glory. For he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Come on, clap your hands and give him some glory. Glory to your name, Jesus. And we are praying, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because even now in this moment, we are here to worship. We're here to serve. We're here to hear from you. So open up our ears that we can hear your voice. Our eyes that we can see your revelation, our minds that we can comprehend what you're showing us, what you're saying to us. And our hearts, Lord, so that we don't become so involved with our situations and circumstances that we forget that you are in charge of it all. Lord, have your way in our lives. We love you, we praise you, and we glorify you now and forevermore. Lord, because of that, we give you praise and our worship. Lord, we'll celebrate you in advance, and we'll thank you in advance for every miracle, every sign, every wonder. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen. Clap your hands and give God a praise. Glory to God. Y'all pray for me. I'm a little tight and sore. Amen. We since we got back to work, we've been trying to pick up and keep up. Amen.
I work with some young men, and they like to, you know, try to show out who's stronger. Amen. And I can't be the old man and the lead of the crew. I got to come in with them and say, oh, that's good. How about this one? Yeah. And later on, my becomes, But thank God for what he's done for me. Amen. I think sometimes we forget that Caleb, after he helped everybody else in Joshua, after he finished working with everybody else and they was conquering the land, amen, the promised land, he said something at the very end. He said, now I helped everybody else. Now help me go take my mountain. Okay, y'all going to come with me while I go take my mountain. He didn't say, ooh, you young people, y'all go on over here. Help me take this mountain. Just remember now, Caleb was not a young man, amen. At that point of his life, he had already gone through 40 years, okay, with the other children of Israel. It was Caleb and Joshua who went through the 40 years with Moses, but they were the ones who came back with the positive report, you know. So even at that, he had the strength to go and receive and to fight for the promise. Amen. Oh, that's a message all in itself. Because some people right now, you've gotten to a place where you think that maybe you passed prime. Maybe you feel that you have waited too long and you're watching young people come up and they have promise and they have the potential, and you're looking at them thinking, listen, they're doing so much. Maybe I'll just sit back and I'll be a good cheerleader. No, if God gave you a mountain, my brother, my sister, make sure that you are going to take your mountain. Amen. It's going to take your sword. It's going to take your shield. It's going to take your leadership. It's going to take your wisdom. But more than anything else, it's going to take God's promise to you. What keeps your arms strong? What keeps your grip tight? It's what God said at the very beginning. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands and give God a praise. I said give God a praise. That was a wonderful hand clap. Come on, give him a praise. Because the Lord is worthy. Tonight, I want to go into something that is familiar. Waiting on my computer to catch up with my thought. Amen. Normally, it's the other way, the computer. It's already there, and it's waiting on you to come on, come on, come on. Right now, we're looking at something else. All right, 1 Samuel 14 and 1. Somebody's going to get some word today that is going to change your outlook. Amen. 1 Samuel 14, 1. Amen. Let's start at the, let's go on down to the sixth verse. We can pick it up there. It says, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, that it may be that the Lord will work for us. Everybody say us. Okay. And this is going to be something that really starts dealing with how we in leadership deal with those that we are training to come up behind us. Amen. If you have someone, and let me just let me set it up like this. If you have someone that God has given you that is going to work with you in ministry, then there has to be training in succession. Amen? Okay. Because what we have in the former generations, what we have had is people who have been the pastor all of their life and died in their office, but they did not transfer to those who were coming up behind them the tools, if you will. You got there and you preached and you did everything, but they remained the pastor. So the pastor stood in the place that you needed to be in so that you could learn how to handle the weight. Amen? Mm-hmm. So what happens then is no one is being trained in succession. So when the pastor dies or the Lord calls him or moves him on, the people then scramble trying to figure out how the pastor all these years kept the ministry going. Amen? How was it still that the doors were open and the lights were on and you were mad so you didn't give your tithes and offering, but it did not affect the ministry because there were resources that God sent that were not, they weren't predicated upon you. Amen? And when you think that you're going to hold something back, you hinder yourself. But the work still goes on because God is in charge of the work. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, this is his work. You better understand that because it's his work, he's in charge of how it is funded. He's the shepherd. We're under shepherds. Don't ever mistake that you are the end all. Amen? Amen. Everybody has a boss. And my boss, I work for Jesus. Amen? And Jesus said, okay, I work for the Father. You see that? So don't you think, Jesus told me, okay, but what the Father say? Okay, because the Father is the one whose will Jesus is doing. And if you say Jesus told you and it's against God's will, then maybe the Jesus you're talking about is Jesus. Y'all missed what I just said. It's spelled the same, but it's not pronounced the same, nor does it carry the same authority. So this right here is just us understanding how we need to then begin to move as those who are called by God, amen, and those who are being trained by those that God called. Now, one thing else I have to say here is notice that Jonathan is not the king. Okay, y'all missed what I just said right there. See, we think that only the king can train armor bearers. Jonathan is a prince, but he's not the king. And if we go back to the first verse, it said, now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines garrison that is on the other side. But look at these next words. But he did not tell his father. The authority that his father had, amen, was not the authority that Jonathan was operating in. So you have to ask yourself, remember we were Romans 13:1, all power and authority that it is, our governing authority is given by God, right? So I'm trying to show you because one of the most important things that we can ever operate in is peer pressure. Everybody say peer pressure. Peer pressure is that pressure that causes people when they're in your presence to feel uncomfortable when they're going to do something outside of the norm, like talk about your pastor, okay? See, now, if you're going to be one of those who allow people to talk freely around you about your leadership, it won't be too long before people want to respect your authority or presence either. Amen? I had a sister and a brother, and I knew that if I did anything around them, mom and dad was going to know, so you don't do anything around this one and that one because they're going to tell. You see that? What we have now is we have people who aren't afraid of God, and they're not afraid of those that God set in authority. He put on his pants just like me. That's right. But you don't care the authority that I have when I put on the pants just like you. Amen? God's not going to ask you what did you do with the people he gave you, he's going to ask me what I did with the people he gave me. Amen? So that means that there's things that I have to do that you can get away with that I can't even try. All right? So I just want to set those things in place so that as we get into this, you can understand that this is not the king. The king has some problems of his own that he's dealing with. But Jonathan is still being led by God. Amen? So here we go. Then Jonathan said to the young man, sixth verse, who wore his armor. Notice we haven't called him an armor bearer yet, but we have described what he does. Okay? Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. One of the things that causes him to be able to make this statement is because Jonathan has already sold out to God's will and God's plan. Amen? And when you have someone who is sold out to God's will and God's plan, they'll still be in the church, even though the pastor is still working on some stuff. The pastor may not be perfect, but they'll still be there working so that God can still get the glory. We see it in his statement here, right? For nothing restrains the Lord. That is faith unabridged. You see it? He's not sitting here saying God can do anything except for... No, he didn't say that. What he said is God can do anything. He can save by many or by few. Thank God for those big ministries that people flock to. But thank God for the training and the teaching houses that have the few in there who have the time to come in and be trained. And, you know, one of the things you have to understand is that when you go into the service, everybody can be in the infantry. Everybody can't be a ranger or a SEAL. Amen? Everybody can't be a paratrooper or one of those specialized forces. Everybody can't do that. There are a few special ones who can survive the training to go on to become what it is that we all look at. We're talking about, man, those are one of those people who come up out the water, you know, with the face paint on and the weapon, and nobody knows that they're there, and they go in and distract, you know, a person and come back out, and we don't know who they are. We just know what they do, and it's so... Ooh, I couldn't do that. That's too far to swim in. That's too difficult to go in there. Maybe they can see. Wait a minute, hold on. These people who go into those situations have been trained for that situation. But everybody can't go through the training. Amen? All right. So look what he says here. So his armor bearer, 7 first, said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. What would it be like if we had a church full of people who were ready to do whatever the leadership said? The pastor said, God told us we're about to go look at this class over here. I'm believing God's going to give us. But we ain't got nothing but 20 members. How are we going to do that? And everybody is not. Nobody had the money for that. We didn't ask you what you had. We ask you for your obedience and your faith. Amen? Because if God gave the vision, then God knows where the provision is for the vision. Most times, you can't handle leadership. And the reason why you can't handle it is because while God is speaking to the leader, you sitting in your mind trying to figure out how you could do it or how you couldn't do it. You see that? So God says, we're about to go in and do this, and we're going to get this class, and we're going to do this, that, and other. And the leader talks about it, your pastor, the man, the woman of God, amen, apostle, bishop, whoever it is, prophetess, whoever God has placed over you, then they begin to speak about these things. And instead of you saying, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. we say, I don't know how you going to do that. You see how instantly there's a separation of the us to the me and you? Why is there a separation? When we walk into the place and the tile is laid and the walls are painted and all of the accoutrements are set in place and the molding and the interior designers have come through and you walk in and you feel the presence of the Lord even before you say your first hallelujah, you're ready to go in there and shout and tear the carpet up. The carpet, not by the way, that you would not pay for, the carpet that you didn't help choose, the same carpet that you didn't not help lay, the same carpet you talking about going in there and burning a rug. You see that? I see what y'all did. I'm here with y'all now. I'm going to, you know, the Lord had to deal with my heart. The Lord dealt with your heart after your faith was not needed anymore. No, God deals with you before your faith is, okay, when your faith is needed, not after your faith has already been defeated. Amen. When he said, do all this in your heart, he's now speaking something that we have to really deal with here at this moment. There is a time and a place when God will give vision to your leadership that does not require your insight or your input. It just requires your activity. Okay? Here I am with you. Everybody say with you. Okay, because if you can't get with your leader, then you're going to have a hard time with the victory at the end. Amen? Okay. How are you going to lead somebody and you ain't never been led? Because whenever the leader starts moving, you decide to detach. How are you going to be the one that God can now entrust with those who will follow you when you never were trusted to follow the one that God placed you? Do y'all see what's going on? This is not the case here. And I'm trying to show you this because I want you to take it all in. I want you to grab hold of it. I want you to see it. I want you to see how it plays itself out. This is not a situation where the leader is going down the street or down the road and it's not going to cost him anything. Come on, let's go all the way back. Amen. Let's look at this here, verse 14 and 4. It says, between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other, and the name of one was Bozeth, and the other was Sina. Okay? The front of one faced northward towards Michmash, the other southward towards Gibeah. In other words, this was not an easy place for them to go up. And sometimes in order for you to get to the victory, you're going to have to go through some tight and sharp places. Places that even by itself can challenge your existence. But if God told you that that is the way to go up, then you don't tell God that it's too difficult. You say, Lord, if you're with me, keep my foot sure as I climb. You see that? There was and I'm trying to remember, there was a, over in humanities, as I was studying that, there was a battle over in Rome, over in Italy, and they was talking about one of the areas over there, and it backed into a place where it was impassable. So the city was set up in such a way that it had natural defenses because of its flank and its back was impassable. So they never had to guard against the rear. You see that? Because there was no way for you to get up through that impassable mountain place. So they never worried about the cliffs over there because they knew that there was no one that could ever get up there until there was a general who said they never guard their rear flank. And if we can find a way to get a few up into it, then we can cause them to give us the city. And guess what? They took the city, not because the whole army showed up at the front, but because a few people who had the faith to climb up impassable, they came in the way that the enemy did not know that they could get in. They were sure-footed. When they showed up and they started their attack from within, it caused such a panic that the gates of the city opened where the army was waiting, and they flooded in, and they took the city. Do y'all see what's going on? See, God doesn't need you to get with the mass. He needs you to get with the few. God doesn't tell the mass the vision. He tells the leader the vision. The leader then begins to look at what is impassable and what is impossible and say, Lord, if this is your will, you have to show me how to do this. Paul said it like this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I'm being led by the Lord and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding me, qualifying my kingdom citizenship as a son of God, as many as are led by the Spirit, He's given them the power to be the sons of God. If that is the case, then I don't need you telling me about the impassable and the impossible. Obviously, I can see the same mountain you're looking at. But what you can't see is what faith has shown me, what his instructions, his plan, his strategy has just revealed to me. Now we have to simply just follow what God is saying. Jonathan's armor bearer said, do all that is in your heart. Go then, I am here with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Point number one, when you are following after your leader, follow their instructions. Follow their instructions. It doesn't have to make sense to you. I was going to follow, but I'm trying to figure out how they looking at. Stop. That's not your job. That's not your position. God won't talk to you because he knows you have that question. And because your leader has already submitted to God and God has already tested them and know that when he said move, they're going to move. When he said jump, they're going to jump. When he said fall back, they're going to fall back. He doesn't have to worry about what you're going to do. What he's testing in you is your obedience to your leadership. When the leader said, we're about to go here and God's going to do this, that, and other, there are people who said, ooh, I don't know if I can afford to go. And then we go and God work out a miracle, amen? And then when we come back, they're talking about, ooh, I should have went. How is it that you keep going through the same lesson over and over again? Because the next time we go, you're talking about, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I ain't going to go. And then somebody who didn't go goes, and now they come back talking about, ooh, we had a time. Ooh, I should have went. Okay, that was number two. We're about to go again. What are you going to say? I don't know if I could do it, or are you going to get with the leadership that's going? Because obviously there are things that God will reveal to you in transition, time that you spend with leadership that will give you, outside of us being behind the sacred desk and preaching to you, you need to model our life. How can you model a life that you're not a part of? You need to know that after we get done Shiboshata, after we get done clapping our hands and shaking and running and shouting and everything and coming over here, and I feel God's about to, you know, after we get done with all of that, I still sit there and cut my meat a certain way. You see that? I still keep my house a certain way. I still address certain things that have nothing to do with Scripture a certain way, so that when I get back to the Scripture, I have validity and relevance. See, if all you see of your pastor is what they do on Sunday, then you're not being trained. You're just coming to a show. Because the life of the leader is just as important as the lesson you get when they preach. Amen? Somebody say amen. Jesus didn't just show up when it was time to train the disciples. They lived with him. When he moved, they moved. Amen? See, you can't be trained in succession to be as great or greater than your leader. And let me just say this right here. No one that is comforted or comfortable in their leadership is worried about how you're going to move forward. Amen? Because Jesus said, these works that I do, you shall do also. If I am a true student of Jesus Christ and a disciple of him, then I'm trying to train you to be greater than me. Somebody just missed what I said. Because what you think is that the leader is holding you back. What it is that we recognize that there are certain things that you're not ready for because we know your development. If you're not ready for it, I'd allow you to go out there. Now I have to be the one that leave the 99, go get the one. And while we're bringing you back, I got to take time and bind up and pour in the balm and get you back together. You see that? All of that, could we could forego all of that. That ounce of prevention would have kept that pound of cure that we now need to spend on you, and the whole flock can move and go forward because everybody's moving together. We're not holding you back. We're trying to get you to grow up and develop. Okay, let me just go over here. Ephesians 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I see. Ephesians 4:11. Look at this. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Amen. Look at this. It didn't put a period there. It's a comma. That means that this is part of an overall sentence. Amen. So let's get the full sentence. Huh? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Why do you have a pastor? Why do you have an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a teacher? Why? So that we can equip you for the work of ministry. Notice that that's first. We didn't ask you anything about how you're growing and developing. We're here to equip you for the work that God gave you for the work of ministry. Y'all see that? Because a lot of times we mad because I don't know if I'm being fed over here. No, you being fed, but you won't develop. You missed that. Okay, you being fed, but you won't develop. You won't develop because you don't want to have to take on the responsibility that comes after you have grown. So you try to get somebody to keep feeding you, but you won't grow. After so many years of being in the presence of the Lord, of sitting under the certain teaching and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, we shouldn't have to ask you about certain things. You should be looking for where you can perform the same miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus said, these signs, these works that I do, you shall do also. What happened when he sent out his disciples 2 by 2? They didn't go out just talking about Jesus Christ. He's doing some wonderful stuff. They went out and did the work that they saw him doing. They came back and said, even the demons are subject. Where did they see the demons subject? They saw them subject to Jesus. How are you going to get a work that is not a part of what you've seen and been a part of? Okay. I could wait right now and just let that set there. Because people want to go in and have the greatness of people speaking to them, but they don't want to go through the process, the learning. How do you bump your head? How do you approach this impassable thing? Jonathan had to not only see it, but he had to give instruction. And here, God has given us apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. He's given us the fivefold. These are ascension gifts. that equip us, first of all, for the work of ministry, and then second of all, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God didn't send you over here to starve out. You're not just supposed to bring us water, and when we need something, you go, okay, God elevated me. I could go take Apostle his tile and everything. Prophetess, trust me enough to take the tile over to Apostle. Wait a minute, you can't take it because you got to be anointed to do that. I'm anointed to read. What did it say? And God said, I'm anointed for that. Listen, anybody can read the Bible and set a towel up here. Anybody can bring a cup here. This does not, you don't have to be anointed for this. What you have to be is obedient, because if you are disobedient, the last thing I want you doing is handing me a cup when you won't obey nothing I said. I'm anointed. I've been called to. You have not been called to that. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you have not been called to that. You grow and you develop. And then you, when the leadership comes in, we equip you for the word. But this word should edify you. You know why? As we read down through this here, you'll see that there's certain things that have to come into alignment till we come to the unity of the faith. So how long do we have apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Until we all come to the unity of the faith. Which means, and I was saying this, even as I went forward, going forward for the bishopric, to add that into my foundation, someone said, well, you know, the apostles were replaced by the bishops. And I say, stop talking to me because you don't understand what you're saying. What? Bishops and apostles are synonymous. I'm like, okay, let me educate you first. Apostolos is the messenger sent by God, okay? God sends the apostle. You cannot consecrate an apostle. You can only affirm that they have been sent by God, amen? So apostles go through affirmations, amen? Prophets, you do not consecrate a prophet because prophets can't be developed and set into office. If God doesn't call them, if the Holy Spirit is not showing them anything, how can you be a prophet when nobody can? Okay, you see that? If you have never seen and God has never spoken to you, how can you then be a seer, which is what a prophet is? Where's the wisdom? Where's the insight? Where's the foretelling or the forthtelling? You see that? So the only thing that we can do with you is not consecrate you. We can affirm that God has indeed called you. So apostles and prophets are affirmed. Evangelists are consecrated into office. Pastors are installed and consecrated. Bishops are consecrated into office. Y'all see that? The reason is because man sees that you have the ability. Paul said to Timothy, find capable men in the cities and in the areas, you see? So that means that you have to have integrity. You have to have character. You have to have those type of things that people can see from the outside and say you are a worthy candidate for consecration. One of the first things that they asked me in the process of being consecrated into the bishopric was, we need people to speak well of you. Who do you have that can speak well of you? Okay? So man can speak well of you and you can become a bishop, but God has to speak well of you for them to affirm that God has called you as an apostle. Two different things. You see that? The bishopric deals with management in a region or area. Their sphere of influence is set. The Bishop of Canterbury can have opinion on what's going on in a different area, but he doesn't have authority there. The bishop of that area, you see, has authority there. But apostles, wherever we go, we're spiritual fathers, we're spiritual mothers. We come in because God has sent us to do a work that has to be done. Let me give you one last thing, and then I move on. I digress. One of the things you have to understand is that Paul, the apostle, was the one who set the first bishop, not the other way around. Bishops do not affirm apostles. You see that? So all of this stuff about bishops and apostles goes back to how the church set up, or the Roman Catholic Church set up its papacy. The authority for the bishopric was taken from the apostles, and the Holy Father was set, the Pope. So he's the last apostle, and everybody who looks at it always traces down their bishopric back to the original 12, because they're trying to establish that we have a succession, which is what we're talking about. But what we don't have is a ceasing of the office. There's not a ceasing of the office because we still have not come to the unity . So we still have apostles, because we're not at the unity of the faith. We still got prophets. The canon of scripture may have been shut as far as the process for these 66 books. But we just read, you are living epistles read of men, which means that the canon can't be closed because you're still here. You see that? God is still speaking through you. People are still reading who Jesus Christ is through your life. So the canon can't be closed because God is still speaking. The Holy Spirit did not hush after the day of Pentecost. Y'all see that? He did not hush him up after all this was said and done. So people who are sitting back trying to find a way to not listen to a prophetic voice is because you won't submit yourself to God's will in his way. God did not get rid of the apostle. God did not get rid of the prophet. Amen. You don't become more deeper as a female calling yourself a prophet. You're a prophetess, because that's just the female form of the word prophet. You don't make it, well, I'm a prophet. That's in a higher level. Well, why are you trying to perpetuate something because you need another tier so you can try to supersede somebody else? Listen, I'm Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, but most of the time you'll hear people just say Apostle McQueen. You know why? Because the chief is there to let people know that there are other apostles under me, but it's not there so that I can lord myself over them, because at the end of the day, I'm just called as an apostle. Archbishop, it just shows that there's other bishops under our covering. And of them, I am the one that is the covering. You see that? Trying to make these things so big and great, and I'm the archbishop and the chief apostle of it. Okay, wonderful. If you're doing all that, I need to see greater wisdom out of you. I need to see greater humility out of you. You see that? Don't tell me that you can't come and speak and preach for nobody because they don't have what my honorarium. I stopped preaching at small churches a long time ago. Okay, well, then you stopped doing the work a long time ago, because God doesn't always send you to the masses. And sometimes what the masses is getting is not what the small church needs. See, the thing is that the baby that's sitting there cannot chew the big steak. They need just a little bit of milk. And when you get somebody who's a little bit older, they still can't digest the steak, even though they can chew it. Amen? Have a little child who got a steak, and they sit there, and you'll be all day long trying to get them a suppository or something else to get that steak through their system, because even though they have teeth, they're not ready to digest. Okay. Stay in your lane where God called you. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the full, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that what it says? Okay, so then that means that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see this? Now, remember, I told you that this is a sentence, right? We're still in the sentence. See, one of the things you have to understand is that when Paul started this sentence, he established the foundation of everything else that's going to go on. You see that? Okay. That we should no longer be children carried about tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So now, hold on, let me just go back up now, because when I said in the 12th verse, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, brother and sister, if we're going to deal with succession, one of the first things that we need to do is we need to get you mature. Everybody say mature. Because when you are mature, then you can actually edify the body too. Is that what it says? It says, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, everybody say it with me, every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Period. See, when you start reading this and you read this as a sentence, then you recognize, first of all, for those of you who like run-on sentence, this is a doozy, okay? But for those of us who understand that what is being said here in this sentence is a complete thought, amen, an articulation of that thought. So you have to look at it in its entirety to understand. Stop pulling out the parts that you like and just saying that the pastor can do this when he started with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and teacher. And our job then is to train you and to equip you. What is the equipping you? It's the succession piece. It helps us to train you so that as the Lord takes me on to my reward, you can continue the work with the same fervency that I have, living with the same integrity that I have, demonstrating the same characteristics that I have. You see that? If you're a son or a daughter of mine, you should be able to cast out demons because your father, spiritual father, can. Y'all see this? When you're running from something, it's because you have not taken on the characteristics of those that you're supposed to be under. So why are you scared if your leader's not scared? Why are you worried if your leader's not worried? Do y'all see this? All right, let's go on back over here to 1 Samuel then. He says, if they say come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign for us. Look at this. So the first thing is you have to, if you will, you have to obey your leader. Second thing, 1 Samuel 14:11. Look at these words. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. Point number two, stay with your leader. That seems simple enough, don't it? But isn't it interesting that your leader will go through a place that you say, ooh, I couldn't do it. I need you to do this. And your leader will show themselves and let God use them. And you'll be like, ooh. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not with me. You see that? So both of them, everybody say both of them. Jonathan didn't just go up and say, peekaboo, and say, why'd you jump up? I don't know. I said, I'm trying to get myself together. I'm not showing myself in a minute. No. He said, so both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistine. And look what happened. See, because this is important. If you're following the instruction, God knows why he sent both of you, and he knows why both of you need to do what the instructions are. Bishop Gary, Arvell Gary, preached a message when I was young, and it still works today. He said, if you mix it right, it'll work. Amen. In other words, don't take the flour out and take the eggs out and wonder why your cake don't come out right. It don't come out right because the ingredients aren't right. And the amount of flour and the amount of eggs and the amount of your wet to your dry has to come in at its time because the recipe is set for certain things to occur. When Jonathan was talking to him, he said, if we show ourselves, so you can't let the leader show himself or herself, and you sit back seeing if they're going to get knocked down, because this is not how it's supposed to work. The instructions were, if we show ourselves, and they say, you see that? Because when God gave the instructions, he knows what he said. There's a reason why you need to show yourself too. You need to show yourself because people will look and see if your leader has any followers. You can't be a leader with no followers. I was talking to a friend of mine, Deacon. I said, you know, in this area, we have gone through strategic things where people have tried to keep us from being able to do ministry. Stuff that we have ended up hearing, we're like, where did that come from? Preacher around the way is saying, well, you know they over there. I was like, what? They don't have a problem asking me to come and play for them. They have a problem with the fact that they know that this word is a life-changing word. And this life-changing word means that you're not just going to come over here and preach 3 points of hoop and holler, and we're going to sit back talking about how good you did. Over here, you're going to have to go deep. Amen? Get in this word. Exegete the passage. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And when you say it and you know that God is speaking it, then the people are start matriculating and growing. They don't want you to matriculate and grow because of one of the greatest allies, and I picked this up. I got to remember where. One of the greatest allies that an ignorant pulpit will have. It's an unlearned audience. I'm a teacher. I'm going to teach you what thus said the Lord. I'm going to teach you the principle because the best church that I've ever been in was one where people knew the word and we became then that joint that supplies. Everyone does their part. So when we got to training and teaching, we challenged each other to go deeper in the word. But when the enemy came in, we stood up and said, loose your hope. We decree and declare right now that God is about to work a miracle. And we saw miracle signs and wonders occur on a regular basis because the people understood they had a comprehensive knowledge of what the word of God said. So when it was time to apply the word, they wasn't Jesus wept all over the place. They were saying, God's word said in this matter, and God's word said here, and they were able to quote the word back to the enemy. We saw miracle signs and wonders. Amen? So you have to stay with your leader. If the instructions came a certain way, don't get a brand new revelation when it's time to execute. God told me to do it this way. Well, you know, I think God was speaking to me because I heard him when I was praying. No, sometimes your fear will speak to you in the voice of God. That's one of those quotable moments. Sometimes your fear will speak to you in the voice of God. Mimic his intonation to persuade you because you were already gullible to your fear. So when your fear says it, and it's against what God's instructions were, you don't even question that it's against God's instruction. You just listen to it and say, "Ooh, I thought I heard the Lord." And yes, you thought you heard the Lord, because in your mind, you need to hear something other than those instructions that's going to challenge you and your faith. It was a challenge of the faith to show themselves to the garrison. This is the one Philistine over there that they're looking at. They're looking at the garrison. Y'all better understand what I'm trying to show you here. Sometimes God will tell you to show yourself to not just a small enemy. He'll tell you to show yourself to a Goliath. He'll tell you to show yourself to a pack of teeming wolves, and they're salivating and dripping at every fang. And he'll say, "Show yourself to them," and not one of them will be able to touch you. And you'll walk right through them, and you'll see them backing around you while they go, they'll back around you, but none of them will be able to attack, because God knows how to shut the mouth of the lion and the lion's den. He can keep this pack of untrained wolves from attacking his child. But you still got to walk past them. You still have to face it. Your fear will cause them to see you as prey. Mm-hmm. But your faith will cause them to see you as the superior and the alpha. Somebody say amen. The reason why they didn't attack wasn't because they wasn't hungry, but because in their mind they already saw you as the superior. And you can never come down to their level and expect God to protect you. He protects you by keeping you in their eyes as, you see that? You got to stay where he placed you. Don't come down because it feels like maybe you can befriend them and they won't attack you. They're not attacking you because there is authority that resides on the inside of you. The reason why they don't attack you is because they know that if they attack, that the angels that are standing to your left and your right will attack them. They don't want that. So they stand back and they'll growl and they'll look at you, and you'll see them with their potential, but they'll never be able to conquer you. The Bible goes as far as to say that I have created the smith who blows the coals and makes an instrument to his design. I have created the spoiler to do his work, but no weapon that's formed. He didn't say they weren't going to put it together. It's coming together for them. You're going to see it. But can you show yourself to the one who has their finger on the trigger, knowing that if they pull it, it's what's going to happen instead of boom? You understand? Stay with your leader and follow the instruction. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistine, and the Philistine said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden." You see that? Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer. At the first, we kept hearing the one who carried his armor. Y'all better catch this. I can't go as far as I want to go. I'm going to have to stop here. We'll pick it up on Sunday. But notice this. It says, first verse. Look at this now. It says, "To the young man who bore his armor." Sixth verse. Jonathan said, "To the young man who bore his armor." Okay? After he shows himself. Fourth verse. After he has been obedient to the instruction, because now remember, he had to climb up with Jonathan carrying his armor. Stop complaining about the fact you think you're carrying the ministry. What you are doing is your part in the ministry, and keep on carrying. Do y'all see that? Jonathan has the anointing, and he has the strategy and the word of God and the covering. So while you with them carrying the armor, nothing can happen to you. You see that? He is not called an armor bearer until here. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer. What happened between the first verse and the 12th verse? We saw vision articulated. We saw leadership that had effective followership. Y'all see that? We saw obedience despite the hardship and the impossible mission, the impossible mission. We see that there is an obedience and a faith. We see the instructions that are given, and then we see those instructions that are carried out with the leader. You see that? So he goes from one who carries the armor to now having a title, armor bearer. Some of you are trying to get to a title, but you fell in every aspect to it. So you're not ready for a title. I think God called me. I just want a minister's license. I ain't trying to be no elder or pastor, none. I just need a minister's license because I know God is working on me, and I'm trying to get myself to the place where, and the first thing that happens is you tell me, God called me to minister. I'm going to say, okay, so I see that God's hand is upon your life. Let's talk about this. And now I'm going to sit back and watch you for about a couple of years. Why a couple of years? Because you can hold your breath for a little bit. But if this is really inside of you, I'll see a little spark become a little smoke. I'll see a little smoke become a small flame. I'll see a small flame become a raging inferno. And pretty soon I'll see you so on fire that everything around you catches on fire. Don't tell me God called you to preach and God called me to do this work and then the church is still small because you keep hoarding into yourself people who listen to your voice, but you won't go through training but to teach you what to do with those. You're not ready for an elder when you can't pass the minister criteria. Not ready for minister when we can't trust you as a brother or sister. Oh, y'all missing everything I'm just saying right there. So now you mad at everybody because everybody else seem to be moving forward and doing this, that, and other. And you can't seem to get none of that. And you start telling the lie that they trying to hold you back. Isn't it interesting, prophetess, that those that God is dealing with, he will deal with them in such a way, and people who refuse to go through will tell you that you are right for feeling that way because they aren't trained, they're not trying to develop themselves. Let me see somebody, I ain't going to place, I ain't going either. But they trying to get me to go. Well, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Listen, both of y'all can sit over there and talk back to each other and encourage yourself. Faith comes by hearing, okay? And y'all know hearing by the word of God, but y'all have to stop at faith comes by hearing. Sometimes your faith is only as loud as those voices in your ear. So while they won't go forward and they won't do not, you sitting back and you won't go forward and you won't do. And when you start talking about it, you say, well, you know, I didn't see nobody else that was going. So I was just sitting back trying to figure out if I need to go. Stop, hold on, because everybody's not an armor bearer. Everybody doesn't qualify for elevation. Amen. So we have, why aren't you training them into succession? Because they won't go through the process. For succession. Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen has a woman of prophetic destiny. And having a woman of prophetic destiny, one of the first things that she has to do is train succession. That means that there has to be daughters that are being trained to be mothers, spiritual mothers. Y'all see that? But if she can't trust you as sister, then don't be trying to come up here and you know, you and took a course over here and they gave you a certificate and now you over here trying to prove that you're ready for and you're not ready. You're not ready. Y'all trying to hold people back. I know I went through the course. You went through the course, but can you get through the Holy Spirit testing? Because he's going to challenge you. Nothing that they went through here, the impassable, you know, sharp, jagged rock.
and all the rest of that. What he was called to and what he was doing was not an easy task. Everybody wasn't going to go down there. When we get down into this, you'll see that after they get success, then everybody else wants to come. Can you be the one that, as Bishop Garrett says, use out the path where there's not a path? Can you come through and establish a way where there's no way? If you can't do that, then maybe you're not ready for that level that you think you are. You're not ready to be the next one in line. Amen? Because everything that I go through, Paul said it like this. He said, you have witnessed me. You have seen me in my chains and my afflictions, and you are still here. You are the fruit and the proof of my apostleship. You see that? Can you still be there through the hardships? Or are you only there for the good times and the easy ones? Come on, let's get to the next level on God. Amen? Amen. Come on, clap your hands as properly come.
We bless God tonight for his word. Amen. And thanking God for Amen. Our leader. Amen. Lord, who's hewing out the path for our lives. Amen. As he's preparing us for succession. Amen. Whatever it is God is going to lay in our hands, we want to be ready. Amen. Amen. We just want to thank you, family, for joining us on tonight. We pray that the word that has been spoken, that it challenged you, that it allowed you to find some things, settle some things in your spirit. Amen. It should never be a time that the word not just only comes to make you feel good all the time, but there's times where that word will tap you on those legs, like my grandmother, get that switch and tap those legs, because God wants you to understand that he's serious about his word and he's serious about his purpose in your life. Amen. And some of you, amen, have been called to you out paths, but you're too afraid. You don't understand the authority and the power of what you walk in. Amen. So nobody's moving. Maybe the one that he's pressing you to move. Amen. Step out. Do what the Lord has called you to do. Amen. And watch the blessings follow. Listen, I just want to thank you again tonight for joining us. Please meet us again here at 9 a.m. for our live worship Sunday morning service. If you are in the Brevard County area, please meet us here, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. Or once again, meet us here at www.ctkrm.org. We'd love to see you here with us. Meet us on FB as well. You can find us under Prophetess Crystal McQueen, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Amen. With all hearts clear, we're ready to just say that we love you. God bless you, and we will see you again Sunday at 9. Be blessed in his name.